You sure you hit record?
I mean, yeah, I do this all the time. Well,
yeah, but we haven't done it for a while.
Well, that's true. That's true. And then I say I do this all the time, and then yeah, sometimes then I forget to hit record. But this time,
there's recording in my top left.
This could be a big. This could be a big episode. Well, this could be a big episode. I mean, it's our big return, and you know, if we don't record it, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, that would be a problem. But we did. I've got it. It's on. We're good. Go ahead. So we should do the thing. So do you know what I missed, though?
Well, I'm going to assume it's saying that this is Miracle Workers, the podcast for meeting planners.
No, I like saying by meeting planners.
So let's try it again then.
Oh, all right. All right. So, yeah. Okay.
Because people forget it's been so long. So let's do it again. Ready?
So long. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
This is Miracle Workers, the podcast for meeting planners.
By meeting planners.
Look at that. That's pretty good.
It's like riding a bike. We totally didn't even forget how to do it.
And it's only been 8 months. So, I mean, I figure that our fans demand a new episode. It's only 8 months is like, come on. What are you doing out here?
Yeah, I know. Well,
but you know what we did? You know what we do? I like that we didn't mail it in. We didn't mail it in and just do a best of episode. And
you know,
when we commit to a break, we really go on a break. This is not like a Ross and Rachel situation. We really go on a break.
That's right.
Yes.
But now we're as cool in the gang. No, I don't know who. We're reunited and
it feels
so good.
We need this to be a visual podcast.
It's either slow jams or yacht rock. One or the two.
The dancing is worth the price of admission. We should put this up on the YouTube machine.
Oh, we should not do that. No. I am not YouTube machine worthy today. But anyway.
So we're getting back though, folks, listeners, thank you for staying with us.
Or yes.
If you're new, thanks for coming by and listening for a little while.
Stopping by.
Yeah.
Popping a squat.
So we're back. We are back to getting the podcast on a somewhat regular release episode. And today we are going to expound upon and possibly curse the great hybrid meeting. But before we expound upon or curse or bury or otherwise, let's introduce our guest who already chimed in. So she doesn't even know what's going on.
We have a guest.
We have a guest.
I thought this was just going to be us talking to each other kind of thing.
Well, that's how it usually is. That's why we brought the guests, so that we don't have to do that. And we don't have to do all the heavy work.
That's true. We're going to make her do all the heavy work. That's
exactly
awesome.
Exactly. And you know what the best part is? We're not even paying her.
I know.
It's great.
Don't tell everybody. I think we're a big production here.
Well, we are. We And we're super lucky, though, this week to be joined by a personal friend of mine. And now through a series of interesting events, a LinkedIn friend of mine, too. She's a CMP, a DES, and an HH. Please welcome. She's an HH. Please welcome Ms. Rebecca Kane to our show.
Yay! Thank you. I'm super excited to be here. And I apologize for chiming in on the recording in the top left a little early.
You ruined it. I mean, this is a scripted bit and you just ruined it.
I know. I'm awful. Sorry. You know. Well,
do you know what an HH is?
I have no idea. I'm assuming.
Oh, I bet I know.
Happy hour?
No, not happy hour. That is my favorite type of HH. That is absolutely my favorite type. But I don't think that's what he's talking about. I think, because I am one too, hybrid hater. Is it a hybrid hater?
Oh, yeah. I'm not a fan.
To be fair, folks, Rebecca assaulted me recently at the PCMA Visionary Awards, and she assaulted me and she said, "Daryl, when can I be on the podcast so we can argue together?"
Right.
And right. I said, "Come on board."
My favorite thing actually about this pandemic is getting to meet Daryl and to realize that I have somebody that I can argue with and fight back with. Because Daryl goes on, you go on rants, man. And sometimes I appreciate them. Other times, I'm like, what are you talking about? Well,
therein lies the crux of the show, Rebecca, is that we can rant and rave, and literally dozens of people hear us do this. So, and that might be less now that we've been off for 8 months. I don't know.
Who knows?
They'll come back and listen to. They'll be there.
I
come
sure
on
hope
now.
So. So yeah. let's jump into this. The topic today is hybrids and you know, what we've learned in the past couple of years. And as we've started, as some of us have started to get back to having at least a partial in-person presence, is what does the hybrid hold? Is it something that was it novelty? Is it
necessity? Was it a necessity, right? I mean, it was necessity, but going forward.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think a lot of this stems from your audience. So I think the first part that I wanted to talk about today was your audience. Now, Rebecca, without telling us who you work for, because we try to keep these things secret, although I think, frankly, anybody could go Google. On.
Let's pretend the interwebs doesn't exist.
That's okay. Kane. That's Kane with a C. C-A-N-R. Yes. Rebecca, tell us a little bit about your audience and what, you know, what hybrid means and why you're a hybrid hater.
Right. So I'm in agriculture. So I think right there as an overview, someone can think more about who actually our members might be. They are mainly farmers, Midwest farmers. These are the guys whom it's actually incredible for what they do. They can go into their combine. They've got 1,000 GPS systems now telling them all about soil and what to plant and how much water needs to go in. Like, they don't have to think about it. And yet an idea of hybrid to sit in front of the computer is foreign. And it's been really interesting. And we went full on virtual for a few of our meetings. And I'll tell you, our meetings are not pretty much none of our meetings are not trade shows. They're full business type meetings where we have the general sessions, and our breakouts are essentially focus groups where they sit in for a day and a half and hearing presentations. And there are Zoom meetings, there are Zoom webinars. If you don't sit on this focus group, you can jump into it. And everything's live. Our speakers are all live. There was nothing pre-recorded. People get to talk and have a chat just like we're doing. Mm-hmm. So they did it, but they're also Midwestern, and where this pandemic falls through, some states, as we know, never shut down. Some cities never shut down. So the argument trying to figure out is why do we need to shut down? Because that's not their way of life.
Right.
Have you found during the virtual only period, did you find new audience members? So were there people who were coming to the virtual who maybe didn't usually attend your live in-person meetings?
Some of our members were not one to go to the masses. We know who our we know the people coming to our meetings. It's just the way we're set up. Some states in the way of agriculture, how they are a member, they were able to have more people and their staff join, as well as our international staff, because we are an international organization. They were able to join virtual, but they may not have joined our meetings before. So in that case, yes. But to the main audience whom we needed, no, it wasn't. There were times it was a big jump. It was an anomaly.
And I think I'm interested to hear you say that, because I think that a lot of this hybrid, you know, where you fall out in this is, what does your audience look like? And if you have, I know you do a lot of domestic work, but if you have an international audience and they still can't travel for any number of reasons, whether it be expense or whether it be
quarantine rules, China's still down, yeah. Taiwan is still down, right?
And all that, does having that virtual option as part of your live meeting, does that help, you know, keep your audiences engaged who otherwise can't be there? And it's interesting. I think one of the things I'm doing is tracking my audiences and looking at, you know, socioeconomic background as much as we have it, looking at geographic location. I work with a lot of doctors, so we look at your experience level and try to figure out, you know, what is it that makes you want to stay virtual, and if they are they going to continue to stay that way. So it's interesting, and I can understand for your group why they'd be, you know, anti anti-hybrid.
Hybrid or some sort. And so we have had we've had two full meetings already. We had one last July, and that was a full hybrid meeting in the sense that you could register in person, you could register virtually, and we learned to marry them together. We're a semi-large staff, but our focus groups, like when those breakouts, where on a normal meeting, they've always required two staff members, we're now needing to require 2 to 4 staff members to run a session. Because we need somebody, you know, we have the leader working with the member leader. We have the person who's sharing the screen, getting the presentations. We have somebody, and everything's live. We have somebody on the virtual side, making sure people are muted. They're not, you know, doing anything. And then we have to now have somebody in the room as a mic runner.
Yeah. So and you can't just be asking the question. The people at home have to hear it. Blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. Blah, blah, blah. They have to speak into the mic. And so it's now added on layers that now we have to bring more staff with us. We're now essentially bringing almost all of our 30 people in our office with us to meetings to work some of the, you know, to breakouts, especially our February one. But July, we were full on. People appreciated it. We're still getting there, that idea of going in person. It was in the midst of Delta. So we were right in between the Delta going down and going back up again. But this past February, we were in person, South Carolina, and our numbers are pretty much back up to pre-pandemic. In person, we had pretty much all of our international staff. We offered, the original piece was we were offering a hybrid for our general sessions only. We do 2 general sessions, the opening plenary with all of our speakers and our business meeting at the end, because the rest of the time they're in these breakouts. That was the only thing we were offering, a hybrid piece to log into the webinar. And we ended up getting rid of our platform. And it was just as you register, we'll send you a Zoom link. And then because we had some staff at the breakouts, especially like I said, China and Taiwan, their quarantine issues are still down. We had to have a hybrid piece for them to log in. And then we had a few other international speakers that had to come in internet. So we were already doing this hybrid. So only those that registered for that virtual component, which was about 15 people prior to the meeting. That Friday, we said, great news, you can now join our focus groups because we're now having a hybrid piece due to speakers. So we did not announce it that way. And again, it was a lot of staff. And then of course, you know, we're still doing this during COVID. We did have people test positive on site.
So hold on. Yes. This is exactly what was going to be my next question, was about health and safety. So thank you for the big intro, but the little teaser, it was a teaser.
That's professionally children, what we call a segue.
That's right. So my question is, how did you handle it in advance? Like, what were your requirements? Because, you know, especially as we're kind of working back to this, and did you have folks who said, I'm not coming in person because of one way or the other, either your requirements are too stringent and I don't want to meet them, or they're not stringent enough and I don't want to be in there in person. So talk to us about all of that portion of it.
So we didn't really change much from last July to our February meeting, I'll tell you, and what we were doing. So we did hire, I hope I can name drop them, I think it's great, in-house physicians to be on site. We did temperature checking, daily temp checks only, July and this past February. Again, the vaccination or negative test route was not a thing. Our board didn't approve it. People just didn't want to go that route. So they were okay with from last July, because we said last July, we have to have something in place, right? We're still for sure in the thick of it.
Absolutely.
So they were aware of the temp checking. They were fine with the temp checking. That brings a medic on site with us. So that's what they felt comfortable with. And so we had that again, temp checking every day. We did. Now, of course, Omicron is here, so we're up and down. We are in February and, planning for January. We ordered 700 or so testing and self-administration kits. And what we did was, as they checked into the hotel, instead of like a wedding where you get a gift, they received the bag, and inside the bag, again, we're only 200-300 people total, give or take, a little, and then maybe 320 with spouses and guests. And that's a big thing. They were coming to this meeting. So everybody who was in the hotel room each got a bag. In the bag was two testing kits, plus some masks, hand sanitizer if they chose, and then like water or whatever. And a letter from our CEO and chairman asking them, because especially how we put it is we have a lot of our international staff with us and they all have to test to go home. So we're asking them to kind of be mindful that we do have people here with us. And so we asked them all to take a self-administration test prior, you know, coming down the first day of general session, and then another one like throughout the week, you know, to choose to. We were not monitoring their tests at all. If by chance, it was all an honor system. If by chance something happened, to please call a staff member on site. And we gave that name.
So I'm not going to argue with you. Well, I mean, I am going to argue with you. Yeah.
Here comes the arguing part, people. We told you it was coming.
Not yet. Coming. I have an idea. So we talk about administering tests on site, whether, you know, it's a self-administered test or it's with a testing company. I have an idea. I think that if we do that, we should find out who's positive, get that name up to whoever is speaking or doing the introductions in the front of the room. And we call that person up on stage. We don't tell them why. We say, you know, Rebecca Kane, I need you to stand up. Come on. So Rebecca Kane, where are you? You know, they look throughout the audience. You stand up, they hit you with the spotlight. Come up on stage. And then in front of everybody, Rebecca Kane is tested positive for COVID. I love it. I think it's a great idea. It's
you know,
it's engaging, it's entertaining, and it's shaming all at once.
It's thinking outside the box. I appreciate and applaud and recognize your creativity. However, Jess might have a small HIPAA issue there, but let's not worry about that.
Well, do we have it? That's a whole, I think, a whole other conversation, because some people will tell you this is not HIPAA compliant because it's a thing, and it's a health and a pandemic and whatnot. Other people will tell you it's HIPAA. Although I would like to say that also depends. Are you having somebody administer the test, or are you taking it in the safety of your hotel room where they don't have to tell you because we're not requiring test results? Right. So you can't shame them in that version. But I will say now, again, I think we all have them. Sometimes, you know, we have people who publicly say, I'm not taking this test. There's nothing we can do, right? We did have, though, we did, it actually worked, and we were doing our own version of contact tracing. Now, again, because of our meetings and these focus groups, especially if you sit in these meetings, it's very easy to know who is in what room. Like, we were having our staff taking pictures. We have to be taking pictures anyway. So we were trying to have them sign in and out if they didn't sit in there. But we know who our members are and we know where they're sitting. So we did have on Monday morning, first thing, and he arrived Sunday evening, call us Monday morning. Actually, he went down to the medic, but he had his KN95 mask on because I just tested positive. But even the medic said, now they said it usually, I guess, comes 3 to 5 days when you're around somebody. So they're just arriving on site, which means they're receiving it elsewhere. And he said he felt sick the week before. So even the medic, he stayed up in his room the whole time. We worked at the hotel. We delivered the food from him because we do provide meals for pretty much everything. We provided more kits. We provided more masks. And because of that piece, he joined virtually. We just sent him the links. He happened to have his laptop or iPad with him, which is miraculous. And he joined in the meeting. Tuesday morning, we happen to have two more people. And then that was the more one. And we sent an email to those we knew he went to dinner with the night before. Somebody you were in close contact with has tested positive, blah, 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 blah. Sorry, I think my emails are on. I got a ding. We have that, you know, somebody tested positive, da, 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 da. But they stayed in their hotel rooms. And then they joined virtually if they chose to. I think one person left. But I will say, knock on wood, not a single person came to us after the meeting. None of our staff, nobody, until they tested positive. So if they were around these people, it was all prior, they got it.
So what's interesting, you just made the, you don't realize you did it.
The case as to why we should have hybrid.
Yes, you don't realize you did it. You just made the case for hybrid. If for nothing else, for those three or four people who test positive, who, or you know what? The guy tested, the guy felt didn't feel well before traveling. If he tested before he left and found out he had COVID, he wouldn't feel like, oh my God, do I have to go? I invested how much money in the registration and my flight and everything else, my hotel. He could sit and I'm going to miss out on all this. So again, if you have the hybrid option, that would be my defense. The only thing I want to argue with you on, Rebecca.
Yes.
You said that you did temp checks.
Yes.
Okay. Can you get COVID and not have a fever?
Yes. Oh, we know. Yeah.
And can you, wait, I'm not done. I'm not done. I just started this. Can you have a fever and not have COVID?
For sure. I think I have a fever every day.
Okay. So my point being is that temp checks are, they're not useless, but they are definitely can be a red herring, and it's safety theater, right?
Right.
As opposed to, you know, things like masks and distancing and testing. But no, I think it is interesting. And the fact that you have the plan, or, and this goes a little stretching from the hybrid, but it does affect our health and safety and kind of how we think about all this. The part that struck me was that you had the plan already in place with the hotel.
Yes.
I did this for my meeting in November. We worked with the hotel, the head of security and loss prevention, and we were super clear between the two groups laying out what the plan was. If somebody tests positive or says they don't feel well, the hotel actually already had a plan in place. So it was pretty easy for us. We just had to make sure that our team knew about it and made sure that the hotel was clear about how this was going to work. That they tell us they don't feel well, we say, okay, we're going to notify the hotel and we're going to give them your room number.
Right.
That's not a HIPAA thing at all. It just is this person doesn't feel well.
Right.
The other part I would say is, and I'm not a lawyer, and because we have not done a ton of traveling, I haven't been at a Holiday Inn Express in quite a while.
And you don't even play one on TV. So
I played a journalist on TV several times, but that's my acting days are long gone. I'm in the West Wing. I'm not kidding. I'm in an episode of the West Wing.
I didn't know that.
I am for like 30 seconds.
What season?
When it's raining and he announces he's got MS and he sees the ghost of the dead mother, teacher, whoever she was.
I'm gonna have to go back and watch it again.
Yeah, there's a big press. I'll tell you, CJ. Big press conference. I'm one of the reporters in the press conference. I'm yelling, CJ, CJ, CJ. Only guy with the blue shirt. You can't miss me.
Okay.
All right.
Going back to look at it. Okay.
You're not gonna recognize me because I have more hair.
Podcast.
we'll edit that part out. But no, I mean, going back to working with the hotel with the HIPAA stuff. I advise all of you who are listening, check with your counsel about this, because I believe that if you include a statement when they register in terms and conditions, that kind of stuff, waiver wise, that says that if you test positive, you authorize us to, or you authorize the testing people to tell us so that we know that you're positive and we can help make arrangements for you. Something along those lines, because you do need to know who tests positive. It's not enough just to say PC, and I don't know how PCMA handled the convening leaders, but we know that a number of people tested positive there. They didn't tell us, which I have an issue with a little bit, because I'd like to know that, Rebecca, I spent a lot of time with you there and you tested positive. You didn't tell me.
Right. So
what do I do? Do I get tested? You know, where does this leave me? But it's a gray area. So I just think that make sure you check with your counsel to see if it's even feasible. But it is not a HIPAA. It's not a HIPAA violation to ask somebody to get tested or ask somebody to stay in their room. It's just, you can't share their information publicly. That's really what it comes down to.
And we didn't. And I will tell you, I do take having a meeting during this very seriously. So we did do a waiver, although we do know eventually, like God forbid something happens, a waiver means nothing, but our lawyer approved waiver, we have all that. But as we talk about even moving forward, and yes, we had the hybrid option because we had international staff members who needed to present, not at the meeting. Now, if they were there, it might have been, and it was a last minute decision to have hybrid fully within all the rooms. But I'll tell you, I'm leaving for Vienna. I get on a plane in like 4 hours, 4.5 hours. And it's a more staff meeting next week, though we have some of our members coming with us. Not a hybrid meeting whatsoever. And we are not offering, so our staff that are in these countries that still cannot travel due to quarantine, they cannot join us at any point during the meeting. We are not talking about that. If we're talking about their market, it's internally. We are not offering any form of it. Yeah. And I do think, now I am
so
companies, but I do think moving forward for at least my organization, they will be trying to get rid of.
And well, so is why? Why is it because, is it a cost factor? And I would imagine, but you've been through a couple. How did the cost, you mentioned bringing a lot more staff, that right. certainly drives up your meeting costs, but were there other significant increases to your costs, having it be hybrid, or are there other reasons that you're looking to get away from the hybrid situation?
For us, I'll tell you, the focus groups, everybody likes it better, and it's just more engaging when you're in person. It's just how we can plan for the future that way, and those, it's easier to have that type of a conversation, though trying to, you know, it's not one of those come sit in the room, listen to a speaker for 45 minutes, and have them present, maybe ask them questions.
Right.
What I have to do is put, we're together currently in a Zoom meeting. We all see each other talk. This has to be now, I have to have another screen facing those in the room. And right. those in the room have to have a fluid conversation like what we're doing.
Right.
And it's just, sometimes it's just more difficult. If the camera, and we're talking, I will tell you our costs. We don't take in big cameramen, and we bring an AV company with us. Our AV company has this camera that attaches to the laptop that's like right by the front of the screen. So sometimes it's difficult even for those on camera, on the computer, to see those in the room, depending on the setup of the room, how right. large the room is. We have some, you know, some rooms are supposed to be, this is also just an internal thing, but one room is technically 44 people sitting around a U-shaped table, then with chairs behind it. So when you put a camera and then you want to see yeah. the speaker and then see everybody else, it's actually quite difficult. And then see yeah. making sure you're taking questions from those on the computer, are those in the room, and vice versa. I'll tell you, from last July to this February, our costs went down, and only because we didn't do a platform. We did yeah. not do a platform. And even though I found a platform that for us, it was probably on the cheapest end that we've done going virtual in last July, but we gave everybody, if you signed up virtual, we made a PDF and with all the separate Zoom links. And it's 7 Zoom links per day for a meeting because yeah. it's, you know, they're intense. So it's just the way our meetings are set up. But one for us is also like the cost of the staff, and we don't charge a large registration fee to our members. Although I'm not revenue generating, which is lovely. I also try not to have to lose money as well.
Right.
So
neutral.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You need a yeah. budget for all that chocolate that you're going to bring back from
Vienna. Right.
should I give you my home address at this point, or maybe we'll do that offline? I don't
think. Oh yeah, don't give that out over. Yeah, Darryl, yeah. You never know what might show up if you give it to our podcast.
Right. So, I'm just no.
Severed animal heads, I believe.
Yeah, I'm thinking so.
Yeah.
What about engagement?
Something fun for you.
Oh, I'm sorry. What about engagement? So we talk a lot about, there's a lot of people, this is generalizing a little bit, but I'm going to kind of lump you right in because stereotypes are a great thing. A lot of people that hate hybrid say, it's not that we don't want to do it, or not even that we don't have the budget for it, but people just watch the content and then it's like they fade off. The whole reason we do our meeting is for the networking and for the engagement. And so when you were virtual, Rebecca, mm-hmm. what was the engagement like? Were people, did you have a chat or rooms? You know, what were people doing? And I'm interested to hear that, to figure out how we could take that potentially and and make it, you know, integrated. We're talking about integrating the engagement within the small rooms, but what about in the bigger rooms? How did you handle that before?
Virtual only, the engagement was not the best. You know, especially the webinars. Okay, fine. Some people can chat in the boxes. But the first one, there was really no networking. The second virtual only meeting we did, we actually did like a coffee and conversations. And I found a company that sent everybody like a coffee box with some coffees and teas in it and a mug that we created. And we had people come in and then we had breakout rooms on different topics. That worked really well. Our first hybrid meeting, we did our welcome. For our first hybrid meeting, the only thing we did not do was our spouse guest events. We still had our welcome reception. We still had an offsite party. The offsite was outside and we were still trying to be careful where we could be, but we didn't have any spouse guests. So the first hybrid meeting, we tried to do a virtual, like at a specific time, also come and have a chat. I think two people joined. It was just, it's not a thing. They're kind of like, if they're joining virtual, they're just ending the day and going on with their life.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, and then we did not offer anything this past February. Again, like 17 people were registering virtually, not even. So,
so it sounds like for you,
right,
the virtual doesn't necessarily align with the goals of the event.
Right. There is a lot of networking to be done. There's a lot of offsite dinners. We have an offsite event. It's great. It's great for everybody to be together. But this virtual network, like they're not having it. It's just kind of like off.
Right. Yeah. So I can totally see where, because I am also not a huge fan. And, you know, I think one of the things that you know, obviously shouldn't really play into our decision, but we're meeting planners. We are not IT people. I mean, I have said this as I have pivoted to do virtual events. It is so much more about the technical side of it than it is. I mean, yes, it's about content, but you know, especially for somebody like me that's a third party, I don't deal with content anyway. So now it really is taking kind of my job out of my hands and going into a whole nother different realm. So I think that, you know, that's just another reason I hate them among other things, you know, and trying to split yourself as a professional in that hybrid world, you're really trying to split yourself in two and manage two very different meetings at the same time.
It's hard. We, you know, I think we all got the in-person stuff down packed. And for any of us who went over to virtual, I became a virtual person. Like I got it.
Yep.
But virtual one was harder too, because the amount of even speaker rehearsals that I had to do to even train to say, okay, I'm going to turn on your screen. We're going to shut it off on here. I'm going to introduce you. And this is what's going to happen. And your screen's going to come on. And then you can start talking.
Right.
And like I said, our business meeting, so all these focus groups I talked about, each of those member leaders have to present live as to what they talked about. I had to have a whole meeting to explain, okay, now there's 20 of you here. There's going to be 30 of you behind here. This is not a Zoom meeting, it's a webinar, so it looks different. You can't have your screen on, your thing on until we go live. Now we have to do hybrid. So now we have all the craziness of what is happening on site. And then you have to think about your virtual component too. And that was the one thing I said. I said, when we went hybrid last year and we had a platform, I cannot focus on the platform. Because then yes, we don't close our registrations. People register on site. So yes, when we were hybrid last year and people realized that we were having a meeting and they never registered, they can register for us hybrid. And people register days of, it happens. It is, you know, because they all forgot, no problem. And so I had somebody back in the office paying attention to those registrations coming in to load them into the platform because I couldn't focus on it. I can't be a full-time in-person planner and a full-time virtual planner.
Are you a chef?
Not feasible.
Are you a chef, Rebecca?
No, I like to cook, but I'm not a chef.
But you couldn't cater for like one of your meetings if you had the had this?
No.
Okay. So you're going to hire a caterer, or you're going to have the hotel cater, right?
I hope so. Yeah.
And your audio visual, do you run the cameras yourself, or do you hire somebody to go and do it?
When we have cameras.
Carol, you're being argumentative.
Do you sense an argument coming on here? Because I do.
Well, I'm so glad then you have so much money to hire all these people to do stuff. And we bring around AV guys with us, but we had to hire an extra 7 people on site with us for audiovisual, because usually it's my 2 guys, sometimes 3 guys on site, split between these breakout rooms if microphones and stuff go down. We needed 6 people.
It's a value. I'm saying this because I agree it is hard to monitor both.
Right.
And so my thoughts on this are, it's a value add, just like the cost for a platform or for extra speaker training or for testing, right? You have health and safety supplies. There's a value proposition. And what we can do as planners, I feel, is just like everything else, just like why do we have why do we bring our own AV company in and don't use the hotel AV company? Besides the hotel AV company is usually
I've got many reasons, Daryl. That's right. A whole other podcast.
But we talk, you know, why do we pay for registration software? Why don't we just have people fax their, you know, call us or email us their registration and we just put it into the system for them? But there's a value add, right? Like we talk about the time savings, we talk about the, you know, what it does, how it improves the process, how it improves the experience. That's my argument for hybrid and for getting the help that you need is, yeah, it costs more money. I get that. And it's not right in every budget. But if we could show the value either in physical terms, you know, dollars and cents, or just in a theoretical way, it says it's going to make the people who are attending virtually, their experience so much more smoother. Me as a meeting planner, it takes a little stress off my shoulder so I can keep a better focus on what's going on right around me. There might be some value in that. So I think that, Rebecca, this is not about you.
Oh, I mean, no, it's all I get it. But it's I not get about it. You. Well, no, I get it. I'm very interested though in, and I think it goes back to the beginning of the conversation. We said, know your members and know your audience. And I also think, Daryl, when you're talking about, and maybe it is these 300 people conferences like I have that you're talking about, where having that extra person, or is it the, you know, or is it the 1,000 or the 700 plus people that may not know the planner by name or have their cell phone number saved in their phone anyway? I think that also comes to it, right? Because I can tell I could tell somebody, do me a favor, call so-and-so prior if you have problems. No, they're still calling me anyway. And they're saying, I can't find the join Zoom link that's right in front of them.
Which is why I want you, Rebecca, when you start this new position, is to change your phone number.
Well, I have to anyway, because I have a work cell phone number that I have to give back.
Carol, she's just going to do that so that you can't reach her anymore.
I still get calls. I still get calls from clients from like 5 or 6 years ago because somebody saw my name in a program book or on a website and they wrote it down. And then they call me like, oh yeah, I'd like to exhibit at this meeting. Or can you help me? I'm like, no, no.
But I will say I do have a work cell phone, which most people have that number. Like, I don't think many people have my personal number. So I do give that back. Although I will say my new position is still within agriculture, not the same members on a different feel or a different level, not all the same members, but so there will be crossover.
Oh, they're calling me.
Yeah. Are you going to work for the Soylent Green Foundation?
I am not.
Okay. It's people. Soylent Green is people.
Yeah. All right. Listen, before this devolves into some kind of something, I'm going to wrap it up.
Yes.
By saying that, you know, I learned today that Daryl loves hybrid, that Rebecca hates it. I fall more on the Rebecca end of scale, but what I really love is listening to these two fight. So we might have Rebecca back. Again, anybody that fights with Daryl is a friend of mine.
This is a super tame one. I agree, Amanda. Because we were pretty tame on this one. I've been on arguments before when Daryl goes into the health and safety and wants, you know, the whole hotel. you know, to change their, you know,
I just did it with the temperature checks though. I just, the stuff is, some of the stuff is so useless and some of it could be, all right, I'm stopping.
I said I was wrapping up, Daryl. That is the clue. Just zip it.
I'm clicking mute.
I started.
All right. Well, we are going to say thank you so much to Rebecca for being our guest today. She was amazing and sparked this fantastic conversation that we've had. No doubt, probably more conversations coming about hybrid, but it was lovely to have you. And we're going to take a little break and we'll be back right after that.
Thank you.
So Daryl, you know, I wanted to have some takeaways from this very juicy conversation, but there's just too much. I had to referee so much. I couldn't write anything down. So there was too much fighting. So yeah, no takeaways today.
We should have given you like a whistle and a striped shirt. I think that really would have added to the.
Yeah, you know what? It's not football season, so I'm a little off my game, but next time for sure.
Fair enough. And while I love arguing and we both like hearing ourselves talk, we love hearing from you, the listeners. And I know we're a little out of practice. You're a little out of practice, but it's no time like the present to jump back into things. So if you have something to share or an idea for a future episode, or you just want to argue with me on tape, we're happy to do this.
Yeah.
Drop us a line. We've got the email address at miracleworkerspodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget, we're also on the Twitter machine at MW the podcast. And don't miss a single new episode. If you head over to anchor.fm, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast style audio materials that are not Joe Rogan related, click the subscribe button and we'd love to hear from you.
Click it. Click the subscribe, because that way you won't miss one valuable word that we have to share, right?
You'd miss them all.
Right. So I think that is it for this week. Daryl, let's do our virtual high five, but this time with real physical contact.
I don't know how we're going to do that. We're on the Zoom machine, but I think she's holding her hands up. What does that mean? What am I doing?
We're going to high five now. Yeah. You ready?
Ready? One, two, three.
There we go. Look at that.
Thanks for a great episode, Amanda. I'm going to see you at the next one.
It was great to be back at it with you, Daryl. And thanks everybody for listening. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Very good.